from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. On Tuesday, President Obama shortened Chelsea Manning's 35-year prison sentence, allowing her to be released in May after spending almost 7 years in jail. The former Army intelligence analyst was convicted of releasing secret documents to WikiLeaks.
Given she went to trial, that due process was carried out, that she took responsibility for her crime, that the sentence that she received was disproportionate relative to what other leakers had received, that it made sense to commute and not pardon her sentence.
Well, some Manning supporters also call for the pardon of Edward Snowden, who is facing espionage charges for intelligence leaks. But the White House said there was a stark difference between Manning, who stood trial in the United States, and Snowden, who was living in Russia under temporary asylum. In this segment of Forum, we want to examine the politics and precedent of pardons and, of course, talk about both Manning and Snowden. Two people who fall on separate sides of the issue are joining us. David French is with us from Philadelphia. He's a senior fellow with the National Review Institute and a writer for the National Review. Recently, he wrote an article on why Chelsea Manning's sentence should not be commuted and why Edward Snowden should not be pardoned. Welcome, David French.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad to have you. And we also have Dinah Polk-Kempner with us, and she's a general counsel with the Human Rights Watch, which has called for the pardon of Edward Snowden. She joins us from New York, and we welcome you to the program.
Nice to be here.
Glad to have you here. And let me begin with you, because Amnesty International and the ACLU and Human Rights Watch are all aboard on asking for a pardon for Snowden. But let me ask you first about commuting of the sentence of Chelsea Manning. John McCain says Chelsea Manning is guilty of espionage and a plot to put the country at risk. And Paul Ryan says it's a dangerous precedent to commute this. Those of you who are in favor of this are saying it serves the public interest. How that he served the public interest by what he exposed? Can you clarify that for us? Why did he serve? Why did she serve the public interest? Excuse me.
I think the problem is that no one has been able to judge whether or not a public interest was served, because Manning, and the same would be true of Snowden, has no opportunity to argue, well, actually, my actions, though violating the law, were greatly beneficial to the United States. It's simply not an issue in an Espionage Act prosecution. The defendant doesn't get to say, the public interest outweighs any harm I did, and the government doesn't have to show any harm. It's simply you just make an unlawful disclosure, and it's almost a strict liability crime. Manning has already served almost 7 years. That's a pretty heavy, that's on the heavy end of leak penalties. 35 years is a huge outlier. It's exponentially higher than any other sentence for a leaker of national security information. So even if you believe that she is guilty and she intended to harm the country, which she's obviously disavowed many times, there's absolutely no justification for such an extraordinarily disproportionate sentence. Moreover, this is a transgender woman being held in all-male Fort Leavenworth who has suffered torture, been confined in solitary, has various times attempted suicide, has had great difficulty in getting gender-affirming treatment. It really doesn't make sense anymore. This woman has suffered a lot. It's really hard to say that 7 years of that treatment would be an inducement to anyone else to follow her example. The commutation was very appropriate.
Let me go to David French on this, who disagrees. And David French, let's talk first about the whole question of serving the public before we talk about perhaps the disproportionality of the sentence. I mean, there is the argument put forward that this whistleblowing, that both Manning and Snowden's whistleblowing actually benefited the United States and enriched our democratic debate, made things more possible to have surveillance reform or improve cyber security, those kinds of things. In other words, these are whistleblowers who are protecting our rights.
Well, I object to the term whistleblower and leaker. These were espionage. Manning case was an espionage case, because what this person did wasn't say, I see a specific identifiable unlawful wrong, and I'm going to bring that unlawful act to the attention of the public. What he did was download hundreds of thousands of documents indiscriminately. In other words, he just essentially looted databases of secret documents, and then without regard for their content, without regard for the consequence, facilitated dumping them into the public domain. And let's be clear about what these documents contained. They not only contained the identities of people who are risking their lives to work with American forces, they contained in detail descriptions of American tactics, down to the order of battle and to the tactics used in any given mission, approaches to tactics in regions throughout Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, this was an incredible document dump. It's almost like sending, in a very deadly and violent sense, sending the opposing team your playbook in a football game.
But you've heard the argument that has been put forward that nobody was killed. I mean, this is what we hear is from those.
That's very, very misleading. What the argument is that at his trial, the prosecution did not attempt to prove that anyone had been killed. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One, to make that attempt, you would have to disclose further classified information. And number two, you didn't have to prove that anyone had been killed to satisfy the elements of the crime. So that's a misleading characterization. What did happen, what we do know, and what was introduced into evidence is that Osama bin Laden sought and received copies of these reports, that al-Qaeda viewed the publication of these reports as a great victory. This wasn't a leak. This was espionage. And this is something that I think is getting lost in the debate. And he broke faith with his fellow soldiers. He did this without regard to their safety.
So the sentence,
without regard to their lives.
Forgive me, but the sentence fits the crime in your judgment, 35 years, which is disproportionate to any of these other sentences that have been made.
It doesn't fit the crime. He should have stayed the rest of his natural life in prison. It's not disproportionate to these other cases, because these other cases are not the same as Manning's case. We're dealing with one of the largest leaks, disclosures, data dumps of classified information into the public domain in American history.
Can I get Ms. Poe Kemper's response to what you just said?
First of all, if anyone had been seriously harmed, I'm sure we would have heard about it. The government had every incentive to at least advertise that someone had been harmed, even if they didn't give any details that would have compromised intelligence. Secondly, although Chelsea Manning leaked a huge number of documents, most of them were very, very low level of classification, if at all classified. In fact, there were literally hundreds of thousands, maybe even a million people who had access to those within the U.S. government. Third, U.S. officials, intelligence officials, said, you know, this guy isn't falling from these leaks. So while I'm sure they were embarrassing and inconvenient and maybe in some very general and marginal way interesting to people we were fighting against, it's very hard to say that in some way this was espionage or that national security was seriously compromised.
Can you really know the consequences of all of the material? Because it was an extraordinary amount of material that was leaked.
Well, actually, we read a lot of it because we were, at the time these documents, these cables and whatnot were being published, we were, of course, worried for some of our own staff and our own contacts and human rights defenders who may have shown up in diplomatic cables. So we don't know anything for sure, but all I can tell you is the human rights community was very ears open on whether there would be harm. And all I can tell you is there was a lot of anxiety, but there really wasn't much evidence of harm. At any rate, the only people who know are people in the government, and they don't have to tell anyone. And then finally, on the overall issue of public interest, I can't evaluate how much of what Chelsea Manning released was in the public interest. A lot of it was sort of old history. But It's clear that at least some documents that received wide coverage were important to inform the American people, for example, that the death counts in Afghanistan and Iraq were actually far higher than what was being publicly reported, or that a U.S. Apache helicopter appeared to be gunning journalists in Baghdad, or other kinds of information that gave the American public a bit more insight into how the wars being fought in their name were going. So we can't just sort of airily dismiss it all as espionage or say, conversely, that it was all in the public interest. What we can do is we can say this shows how inappropriate it is to use a 1917 statute that was designed to punish leaks to a foreign enemy. For people who are disclosing confidential government information to the media out of a sense that something illegal or wrong was going on.
Dinah Pohl-Kempner, again, is General Counsel for Human Rights Watch, and they have called for the pardon of Edward Snowden. I'm wondering, David French, since you are clearly against the pardoning that has taken place for Chelsea Manning, the distinction that President Obama has made with respect to Manning and Snowden is not to commute this, not to pardon Snowden, because I assume that is not going to happen before President Obama leaves the premises in Washington, because it's very different that there was a trial that took place for Chelsea Manning and he was convicted and he did fess up, so to speak, whereas Snowden has gone off and is living in a country that is clearly our adversary, not necessarily clearly to President-elect Trump, but clearly, at least at this point, to many in government. So do you draw that line between the two? Do you say that Snowden is even worse, perhaps, than as a traitor or as, for culpability than Manning?
I don't think he's any worse than Manning. I think they're roughly equivalent. I think of Manning, this claim that Manning is somehow better because he stood trial belies the fact that I don't think that Manning had much of an option to flee or much possibility or capacity to flee. I mean, you know, going back to an earlier argument on Manning, I served in Iraq in Diyala province in 07, 08 during the surge. And I know for a fact that if our incident reports, what we called our SIG Act reports, significant action reports, were leaked in total to the enemy in our area of operations, where they could download the records of all of our movements, which that's the kind of information that Manning put out there, it would have been a disaster for us. It would have required changes in tactics. It would have required changes in strategy. It would expose all kinds of information about how we conduct our operations. And so this was serious. And with Snowden, it's a similar gravity of harm, although there are those who say it's even worse because the kind of information he leaked was classified at a higher level. But I think they're birds of a feather in many ways.
A lot of people say that the commuting of Manning is perhaps, in fact, not so important because it's at a lower level of secrecy that we're talking about with what was released.
Well, the level of secrecy, one of the reasons why these documents are a lower level of secrecy is because they were widely utilized by troops in the field. They're widely utilized by people who actually had need to see those documents to conduct warfighting operations. And so, yes, it's true that some were classified at lower levels. That doesn't mean that they were unimportant. It doesn't mean that they didn't risk lives. One of the problems, one of the flaws in our classification system is that because the classifications can be sometimes arbitrary, not always, but sometimes. But in this circumstance, to say that, for example, that Manning did wasn't as bad because the items were merely, this was the New York Times phrasing, merely classified at the secret level, is a very shallow inquiry. We have to look at why they were classified at the level they were classified and what they were used for.
All right. I want to bring our listeners into this and afford you, our listeners, an opportunity to speak out and speak up about the commutation of Chelsea Manning's sentence or the fact that there are Snowden supporters asking for his pardon. And if you have an opinion, we'd certainly like to hear from you, or if you simply would like to voice your own concerns, let's have you join us. You can do that now by calling our toll-free number. The number is 866-733-6786. We do welcome your calls. Feel free to join us now again at 866-733-6786. And there are other ways, of course, to join the program. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. You can also go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Talking with David French, senior fellow with the National Review Institute and a writer for the National Review, who recently wrote an article on why Chelsea Manning's sentence should not be commuted and why Edward Snowden should not be pardoned, and Dinah Prokempner, who is general counsel with Human Rights Watch, and they have called for the pardon of Edward Snowden. Looking at a listener question for you, David French. One of our listeners says, does Mr. French believe that Daniel Ellsberg's release of the Pentagon Papers was a responsible and legitimate leak of information to the public?
I don't believe that it was responsible and legitimate. I think what was irresponsible and illegitimate were some of the actions, of course, that those papers disclosed. However, I think that a person who leaks documents to the public should be prepared to pay the consequences for their action. We cannot simply say that we're going to apply laws protecting national secrets based on whether or not people in their own subjective opinion view that the information that they're protecting is worth protecting. That's unsustainable as a system. And what we often tend to do in this country is we tend to value a leaker directly proportionate often to the extent to which the leaker advances maybe our particular point of view or discloses information that we think helps in political argument. And that's no way to run a law enforcement system. So I'm not going to say that the contents of the Pentagon Papers necessarily were to the credit of the U.S. government. Of course, in many ways, they were not. But no one should be able to leak with impunity.
Do you have objection to referring to Chelsea Manning as she, David?
Yes.
Because you use he. I mean, I stumbled once and said he by mistake, but, you know, I quickly corrected myself because transgender people prefer to be called by, you know, what they are, what they believe they are. I just wanted that on the record. But let me go back to Dinah Prokempner, and then we're going to go to your calls. Get a response from you, Dinah Prokempner, from a listener, Helen, who writes, what I would like to know is why the legislature, Congress, and media do not discuss what Chelsea Manning was sentenced for. It's my understanding that she exposed information about what the United States government was doing illegally and horrifically in the Iraq War. What options would have been open for her then, and what options exist for others now who would like to expose illegal government practices? It unfortunately seems relevant.
Well, I think this listener has put her finger on the problem. Quite apart from whether you think Chelsea Manning's disclosures were in the public interest or not, the problem is no one has a defense like that in U.S. law. Now, it's reasonable for the government to say, look, you've got to keep secrets, and to punish those who leak them or who disclose them without authorization. But human rights requires, and basic fairness requires, that if a leak is really in the public interest, if it exposes, for example, criminal behavior, fraud, waste, mismanagement, human rights violations, there should be a defense. That should be taken into account. And the Espionage Act simply doesn't. Neither does several other laws that might pertain. The administration and Congress have really ducked this issue with respect to people in the intelligence community and people in the national security field. While there is a federal law for whistleblowers, it's been shown that the procedures, there's no equivalent protection for people in the intelligence community, and the internal channels simply are not working. In fact, a whistleblower who was an assistant inspector general for the Pentagon tried to blow the whistle on the fact that people who had used the internal channels at the NSA were, in fact, retaliated against and threatened with prosecution. So someone like Manning didn't have a lot of options, and Snowden obviously looked at how Manning and prior whistleblowers like Thomas Drake had been treated, and that informed his decision to go directly to the media and to give them the documents and tell them, look, you've got to only release what's in the public interest. You've got to check with the government to see if any real national security harm will come from these leaks. And please don't put any individual in danger. That was a very careful approach. It might or might not, in the end, make people's minds change. But the fact is, the law wouldn't take any account of it, and that's a problem we have to fix.
All right, and I want to read a couple of comments. Listener tweets, and this is something that needs to be put on the record here because it's correct, I believe. Manning was not pardoned. Her conviction still stands. The sentence was only commuted to a shorter one. Big difference. Thank you for that. Mary writes...
Yes, that's very important.
And Mary writes, Chelsea Manning was tried, has served part of a sentence, and has expressed remorse. Snowden has not, and in no way is that comparable. And let me bring some of your calls on here. Let's begin... let me read a question first. Alex writes, why did Scooter Libby get such a light sentence for outing Valerie Plame? And, you know, we're talking about sentences. That's a good question, David French. It's also, you have to think about Petraeus, too, here. In terms of what he could have revealed by his biographer, his lover, you know, putting things forward. It wasn't necessarily intentionally put out there, but things that were quite private were put out there, and there was no sentence. There was no paying for that.
You will not get a defense of Petraeus from me. That was, I believe, an unconscionable breach on his part. And I was shocked, frankly, at the lenience of the sentence and the lenience of the treatment. Yes, he'd given valuable service to the United States, but his breach was particularly tawdry and very intentional. When his name was floated briefly as a Secretary of State candidate after Donald Trump had spent months and months hammering Hillary Clinton over her treatment of mishandling of classified information on the private email server, to then walk in David Petraeus and to consider him, I thought was inconsistent.
Well, it was inconsistent with Scooter Libby as well. I mean, these things do have an inconsistency to them, and sometimes those in more powerful political roles don't necessarily get to pay the piper. But I want to actually go to some of our callers who are waiting patiently here and get to as many as we can. But one quick comment here that I have to go to you on, Dinah Poe Kempner, from a listener who writes, please, I'm not a vindictive person, but Manning knowingly committed treason. The Human Rights Watch representative is stretching the boundaries of credulity and arguing that this was as serious as a jaywalking violation. Far from it.
We haven't sat down and said, look, overall, Manning's disclosures were overwhelmingly in the public interest. Manning disclosed an enormous number of documents over an enormous number of subjects. The problem is not that. The problem is Manning's sentence was grossly disproportionate, and there really wasn't a lot of indication of very serious harm. It's always a harm, of course, to disclose government secrets. It's not jaywalking. But we never will know how much harm, how much benefit, and that's a problem, and you shouldn't sentence someone to 35 years in a trial that doesn't even consider that.
All right, and more about the Snowden-Manning contrast, another listener writes, Snowden submitted it to journalists to sort out the parts that were dangerous to individuals or national defense. Manning did not. Let me get a caller on here, and Sam, that's you. We thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael, longtime listener. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to just take a little bit of issue with what Mr. French said and then reiterate what your previous caller and your other guest has stated. We are going after the leak and the leaker, but we're not going after the crimes that the leaker exposed. And I think that that's very hypocritical for Mr. French to say that somebody who exposes this deserves life in prison, whereas somebody who actually performs crimes of murdering journalists with an Apache helicopter and melting a bunch of civilians with depleted uranium bullets shouldn't be prosecuted.
David French, let's get a response from you.
Well, sure. First, I'm very familiar with that incident that was described and released called collateral murder in such neutral terms by WikiLeaks. That wasn't a war crime. There were journalists who were walking with and a band of insurgents. And when a journalist, just like if a journalist is embedded with American forces and riding in a Humvee that's ambushed, journalists bear the risk of this battlefield association. And so That was a brutal film to watch. War is very, very brutal. Words like murder and war crime are thrown around an awful lot by those who I don't think really know what those words mean in the military context. I served as a JAG officer with an armored cavalry regiment and helped the command make shoot, don't shoot decisions in similar circumstances all the time. And so a lot of what people say is exposing wrongdoing is exposing no such thing. It's exposing the difficult decisions that are made in war and the horrible risks of war. That is not the same as exposing wrongdoing. And including exposing collateral damage is not the same thing as exposing wrongdoing. And so I take issue with the notion of what Manning uncovered in that circumstance and on a couple other famous incidents that are brought up, that he exposed some sort of crime. He did not. And so he did expose, and this is something widely known and understood at the time, that Iraqi forces were particularly brutal, often very brutal in their handling of detainees. That was something that was a problem that existed throughout the war and something that American forces struggled with handling, and was something that I struggled to deal with when I was downrange.
I want to read another comment from Bjorn, who writes, Bill Clinton pardoned Mark Rich, who had fled to Switzerland before standing trial. Snowden is in the same situation. And here's Frank. Frank, welcome. I thought there was Frank. Frank, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember back when the charges were levied against her, I was in the Army. And me and a lot of my friends were really concerned about it, and we were really angered by her kind of being a traitor to us. And I just kind of, well, we all kind of thought that it wasn't really fair that when she got commuted, and she should have had to face the charges that were leveled against her and served the whole time. Just because we're taught from as soon as we enter the military to whatever rank that OPSEC is key. And I just don't see how she could have just ignored that and put her battle buddies' lives at risk.
Well, that's the in fact, I read David French's article, and that's the core of his argument, that she let down her band of brothers and all the rest of that. But the other argument, of course, we've heard is that it serves the public interest to find out things that are going on that may be illegal, not necessarily killing, but in some instances, because the collateral damage was codified, I think, by David French, but in some instances can be killing and can be rather terrible things indeed. Let me bring things to a close here, because you hear the music coming up, and that means I have to do that. I wish we could continue this, because I think it's been a very fruitful debate, and I want to thank David French from the National Review Institute and Diana Poe Kempner from the Human Rights Watch, and thank you, our listeners. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and an hour is repeated in the evening, 10 to 11. The program is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, and Susan Britton. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from Amanda Font and Jeremy Siegel. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Holly Kernan. Thank you for listening, and for all of us at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.